This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. As you've heard us mention, recycling's been a bit of a complicated prospect in Michigan lately, with the global market still finding its way past a major disruption and a dismal consumer recycling rate statewide compared with the rest of the U.S. Many who work in the industry are hoping for a kickstart that might boost changes in our habits. Eric Friedman is director for the Knight Center for Environmental Journalism within Michigan State University, and he joins us now. Hey, Eric, welcome back to Stateside.
Glad to be back, April.
How would you describe the state of Michigan's recycling ecosystem right now?
Gray, not green.
Ooh.
And I'll give you three reasons why. One is that we haven't, as a state, developed the kind of infrastructure that makes it easy for everyone to recycle. Second, the bottle deposit law hasn't been changed in decades, and that 10 cents that was worth a lot when the law was passed isn't worth so much now. And the third thing is that the market for recyclables, manufacturers and repurposers, isn't as strong as it could be.
What do you mean by that?
The demand for high quality recycled material isn't there. For example, we're all big on curbside recycling. I was thrilled when my local trash company started the program and then allowed us to even put our glass in there. But all the stuff is mixed together and it costs a lot of money, and a lot of the stuff gets wasted when it's processed at processing facilities because there's contamination from food. People throw plastic bags, which they shouldn't, in with everything else on the assumption that dilution is the solution. And so a company that makes products out of recycled plastic will find that multiple types of plastic are mixed together and won't meet the quality requirements for the new products.
Looking at some of the stats, the recycling rates throughout the 1960s were steadily increasing as people were sort of becoming aware of what was possible. And then the recycling rate went from something like 10% in the 1980s to about 35% in 2017. But we've experienced some decline since then. Is there anything you can think of other than in terms of consumer habits that might have led to that decline?
Public awareness. The assumption was, well, if you took your bottles and cans back to the supermarket or to the convenience store, you were doing your part. And anything else you did, well, if it was inconvenient, then you were less likely to do it. That 1970s Earth Day jumpstart began to lose some of its appeal and some of its draw. So public attitudes didn't keep up with the growing amount of stuff that we use, the packaging, the bottles, the plastic water bottles that we now can't redeem and throw in the trash or throw by the side of the road.
Right. Eric, could you talk a little bit about some of the global factors that are influencing the recycling market?
Sure. One of them is the fact that China is no longer taking most recyclables from the United States because of the official reason was that too much of it was contaminated and poor quality and couldn't be profitably reprocessed there. A second is that other developing countries are less willing to take our surplus electronics and other materials that contain contaminants and sometimes lead, asbestos, other toxic materials. And a third is the economics of transporting our waste across the ocean and then back in the form of new products here when countries are becoming more consumer oriented themselves and generating a lot more of their own material that they can recycle without that long, expensive transportation.
As if all this weren't enough, we've had a pandemic going on. And many folks will remember that there was a period in which local recycling facilities were closed for months at a stretch. What impact did that have on recycling in Michigan?
One, a lot of people then, instead of storing their stuff for months, just threw it away, the cans and the bottles that were worth 10 cents each. Second, when they reopened those facilities, it took a long time for many consumers to get through all the stuff that accumulated. There was, for example, Meijer, a $25 per day recycling limit on an individual. And if you had 3 months worth of pop cans and beer cans and bottles, you'd have to take several trips to redeem them all. And it was easier to throw them away than or put them in curbside. Third factor is that municipalities that have been subsidizing recycling all of a sudden had huge budget problems because they weren't getting their property taxes coming in, and there were other pandemic-related expenses.
From a market's perspective, is there any difference between what happens in recycling if people drop their empties at the curb instead of taking them back to a point of sale and redeeming for the deposit?
It's more expensive to separate out the material and clean it, bottles and the cans, than when you bring them to your supermarket or the convenience store and they're separated, they're glass or they're aluminum, and that's it. So the quality of the material means that it is more of a demand from the industry to get the clean aluminum cans or the clean glass than it is the dirtier, lower quality material.
Overall, it feels like we're painting a pretty grim picture here with a lot of high-level issues at play. Is there anything that one household or even one city or county can do when the issues that we're facing have to do with market force conditions or a pandemic or just a lack of domestic recycling facilities? How do you think about the fixes?
There have been municipalities that have been doing that kind of thing on a community level rather than waiting for a statewide change in the bottle law or a statewide change in subsidies. For example, Ishpeming Township near Marquette got a state grant that lets it, for the first time, take glass. So it's got bins, money for bins, and it's got money for a processing facility. So that's small scale, small community doing one thing, but it makes a difference. And I think it's like anything else with the environment. The little steps we can take may not be noticeable individually. Proverbial turn out the light, so use a little less electricity. But collectively, it can make a difference. And I think it helps us teach the next generation, our children and our grandchildren, that they can do their part easily. Whether it's recycle stuff, turn out the light, walk rather than ask mom and dad to drive you someplace, and that collectively there can be an impact regardless of the politics and regardless of the economics.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Eric Friedman. He's director of the Knight Center for Environmental Journalism at Michigan State University. He recently wrote an article for Cranes Detroit titled "A Decade of Decline." Michigan pioneered litter control. Now its recycling rate is down in the dumps. You mentioned that the commingling of recyclables can be an issue in terms of making recycling more expensive because it has to be sorted, and sometimes there's cross-contamination. Would universal requirements for recycling across Michigan make any difference, or even just a little more consistency among counties and cities and townships?
I haven't thought about that, but knowing the trend towards individual community action, local officials don't like the state, whether it's the legislature or the state agencies telling them and their residents what to do, whether it's over school boards or whether over plastic bag ordinances, all those kinds of things. And then even within a county, there are big discrepancies in where people live and what access they would have. I live in Ingham County. I have curbside pickup that I pay for. A block away is the city of East Lansing. There's curbside pickup that residents don't pay for because their property taxes are higher. And there are communities and parts of communities in the county that don't have pickup at all. And then you're asking people to drive 15, 20 miles to take their recycling to a county center. I don't think that's realistic.
Right. Let's talk about the bottle bill update. Michigan's bottle return law was passed by voters way back in 1976, and it really hasn't been updated since then. As I know you know, there's a 10-cent deposit on empty bottles for beer or carbonated drinks or water. But lawmakers are talking about reviving legislation to update that. What's significant about the plan as it stands now?
What's significant is that it takes the voters, it took the voters years to pass that because the legislature wouldn't and put Michigan out front. Our 10 cents is still the highest, except for Oregon, which later came up to the same level, hasn't kept up with inflation. But there are a lot of powerful interests on both sides. There's the environmental movement on one side. There are the companies, the manufacturers that want high quality recyclable material to use, to remanufacture. But you have the supermarkets, you have the convenience stores, you have business groups that are opposed to either expanding the types of containers. The legislation that you mentioned was reintroduced every 2 years, and the latest version covers virtually all beverage containers except for dairy products. Merchants, particularly small ones, the gas station, convenience store, the community market, say they already are pressed for space just taking the beer and soda containers, and that it creates sanitation problems, and that it's expensive to have personnel take care of all of that. And what they get back now from the unredeemed bottles, that money that's been essentially forfeited to the state, isn't enough to cover their costs. So those and then the distributors want a share of the unclaimed deposits as well. And everybody has a different take on what the priority is and whether the change would be successful. There's always talk, well, we'll have another ballot proposal. To do that would cost millions and millions of dollars to get the petitions and get it on the ballot and to advertise and to litigate. And there seems to be no strong movement in that direction, either from the legislators who want to expand it or from groups like Michigan United Conservation Clubs, which led the successful effort in the 1970s.
Yeah. Eric, this bill was proposed by two Democrats in the Michigan legislature. Do you know if it enjoys any support amongst Republicans who do control both chambers at this time?
Not that I know of, and I know no hearings have been scheduled, and the committees, both in the House and Senate, are controlled by Republicans. So if it's not a priority for the Speaker and the Senate Majority Leader and the party caucuses, it's unlikely to even get a hearing, let alone get a committee vote and go on to the floor.
Right. You noted that some smaller retailers aren't really happy about being a redemption point for recyclables. And, you know, not every community is situated in such a way that people would have another option to, you know, it's not always easy to take things to your county recycling site or your township recycling site. Do you see any other long-term solutions that might be feasible across Michigan?
Uniformly across the state, no. I can see grants to communities from the state or from private interests to build more drop-off locations or to expand the types of products that are taken. There are a few communities, for example, that will take styrofoam. There are a few communities that will take clothing, but they need some kind of state support or outside support to be able to afford to do that.
Eric, I just have one more question for you. The conversation around conservation ranges pretty widely right now. There's a lot of momentum nationally and within Michigan around changing our carbon footprint with respect to transportation. There's talk about changes to the power grid, both in terms of how we generate our power and how it's distributed. And at the same time, consumer demand for Many kinds of goods and services is still raging, even with the pandemic going on. Do you think that recycling is still a conversation worth having right now?
Certainly, because it fits into that whole conservation environmental ethos. It's part of what we do in our daily lives. It's not remote like the power grid in conversations with individuals. It's not remote when you talk about recycling. It is remote if you talk about having wind turbines in the Great Lakes 3 or 4 miles offshore. It's the kind of thing that we as individuals can be aware of and can do something about. And it's something that doesn't require government to force most of us to do at least some of that recycling when it's convenient and when it's feasible.
Yeah. I mean, what's the alternative if recycling rates were to continue to decrease?
Well, one is increasing the cost of dumping at landfills. Michigan has very low dumping rates, so it's cheaper to dump than it is to recycle. A second is if we start seeing a big spike in costs of certain products because of a lack of recyclable materials. During the pandemic, when cans weren't getting redeemed, that meant bottlers, particularly small bottlers, microbreweries were having trouble getting cans because the can manufacturers would have to get much more expensive raw materials than the recyclable, closer to home cans that we get 10 cents for. So if it hits you in the pocketbook, maybe it makes you a little more aware. And we'll see that in the same way in the opposite direction, when the price of electric vehicles comes down, is that more people be willing to make that environmental step because it'll cost them less money than it does now to buy a Tesla.
Eric Friedman is director for the Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. Eric, thanks for talking to us about all this. We appreciate it.
April, it's always good to talk to you.